More updates on Brandon Ayuk. We're going to break those down real quickly on this emergency live stream, as we do it whenever news breaks, whenever updates happen, whenever things need to be clarified. And with this particular topic, there are so many fake reports everywhere. And let me make something abundantly clear, that even if he does get traded, or even if some of these things work out, that some people are throwing mud at the wall, they need to report on stuff when the facts are there. There's a tweet, or I'm not sorry, not a tweet, an IG post that, let me put this up real quickly. This is of Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels. Now, these guys are ASU pals, okay? You got Rashad White, Jaden Daniels, you got a bunch of the ASU boys that get on IG Lives together. And Brandon Ayuk posted this. Brother said we got 6 days and it's fireworks. And everybody's like assuming what he means by this. Fireworks for Jaden Daniels, for his pal? Is everything about Ayuk? I don't know. We'll talk about this. We don't have much to go on this, to be honest with you. But people are acting like he's saying fireworks in terms of like his contract. But I think people are making up stuff there. But this is all news. Like, if Ayuk posts something, everybody should be allowed to post about it. If he unfollows somebody, you should be allowed to post on it. Even the report the other night where he followed, you know, some Patriot players and then put Tom Brady in his profile. There's nothing wrong with reporting on that. It's how people report on it. It's what people say is connected to it. It's when people see that and they see an opportunity to throw fake mud at the wall and make a prediction to try and be right, like it's going to gain him something in life. All we can do is digest it, predict it, try and assess what's going on. And this report here, this is even from my boy Raj. Ayuk is not taking part in off-season voluntary workouts in the off-season program, which opened up on Monday per Matt Maiocco. And so there's still unrest in San Francisco. I want to make it, again, abundantly clear that he's not a lock to stay in San Francisco. While there are people falsely reporting on this situation over and over and over, he is still very, very much a possible trade candidate. It's just, it depends on the offer. That's all it is. Everybody keeps acting like he's not going anywhere or he's going somewhere. What matters is, does somebody actually make a substantial offer that the Niners say that's, well, the risk versus reward, send him over to Pittsburgh or wherever. But to act like there's some sort of aggressive trade talk going on when there's no evidence of it and people are just making it up is where it gets annoying. Very much still potentially on the move. The problem is the Niners. The problem is not Ayuk. This is par for the course. This is an accepted form of behavior for player to ask for a contract extension during a fifth-year option year. This is par for the course, widely accepted across the league. Players do this all the time. Unfollow their team. It might be childish to a lot of people, but it is par for the course. It is what players do when they want a new contract. But what I think Niner fans don't acknowledge is that this behavior and blueprint will, A, lead to bad play the coming year if they hold out. Doesn't matter if they work out on their own with a trainer and chains around their neck doing push-ups. It doesn't matter. Being away from the team leads to a bad season. And the longer you're away, the more likely the bad season is going to occur. So it would be, in my opinion, better to send Ayuk packing than to have him hold out for a lengthy period of time, come back and play bad on his new deal. Then everybody's going to be upset at him. Oh, he played horrible. Give him the money and he gave up. A lot of players play badly during a holdout year. It's been a concept since the end of time. The beginning of time. And will be until the end of time. This is just the way it is. Like, years back when players, running backs would hold out for, you know, the entire offseason for a big contract. Sometimes into week one or two. And then they come back and they play horrible. They'd be out of tune. They'd be out of sync. They get injured. You're often likely to get injured during a holdout year. And obviously the odds, again, of the likelihood of injury, the actual injury, how bad the injury is or how bad the play is, depends on the length of the holdout. How long are you away from the team? This is when the door opens to a potential offer. What's more attractive? Dragging this out trying to close a gap that the Niners know they can't close because he wants $28 million. And the Niners are like, we're paying him $23.5 million. And we're not going to get there. So what do? Keep him? Yeah, probably keep him unless an offer comes in they can't refuse. We're going to break all this down and more. The Fantasy Football Show begins now.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios. It's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
So, you know, I just again want to start off by saying that this is a speculation season, smoke season. And everybody needs to understand that this is a digest what you see in front of you the best of your ability. Nobody has insider information outside of about three or four major people, and those people have nothing to report on. Nothing. Do you think that some little Twitter account, and when I say little, sometimes they have 20, 50, 100,000 followers, but there's some kid in his mom's basement that was really good at graphics and grew his social media. Do you think that kid has an inside lead on a Pittsburgh Steelers trade talk with the Niners? Over Matt Maiocco, who's, and I'm not saying I love Matt Maiocco. This guy said that Sam Darnold throws the best football in the history of the 49ers over Montana and Steve Young. I'm not saying I love Matt Maiocco or his takes. But Matt Maiocco, you know, don't you think he would know over this 17-year-old kid in his mom's basement running the Steelers Twitter account? Not the actual Steelers, but this Steelers fan page Twitter account that poses as a news source. Like, this is smoke season. The one thing I can tell you, because I actually bring a journalism ethics to the table, I actually bring experience to the table. None of these people that are out there making up shit over and over have any experience whatsoever. No radio experience, no journalism experience, no journalism degrees, nothing. They bring nothing to the table, and they're out throwing mud, slinging mud at the wall, hoping to God that their pretty accurate, likely prediction lands, and then they look like they had inside information. No one has inside information on this. Nobody, but we do have to digest it. So we are here to look at what the facts are. What are the facts? Well, Smitty, he's not attending voluntary workouts. This is from my boy Raj. We know that's true. Is that crazy? No, it's voluntary. How big of a deal is it? Not that big of a deal. Is it making a statement? It certainly is. Like, you know, there is a statement to be made there. What is he trying to say? Pay me. And at the same time, you know that they're very likely to get a deal done, right? There's a higher probability and chance that Brandon Ayuk is a Niner than he is with another team in 2024. That is clear as day to me. Doing this for over 20 years professionally, I can tell you the objective for the Niners is not to trade him. So when people say, oh, he's on the move, there's aggressive talks going, that's BS. Is somebody calling? And are the Niners going, yeah, we're not really interested. If you make an offer we can't refuse, we'll listen to it. The line will be open, but we're not aggressively talking with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is fabrication. This is fabrication at its finest. I can tell you with almost certainty through 20 years of experience that it's that simple. It's, hey, yeah, you know. And then they can deny there's no aggressive trade talks going on with the Niners because there probably isn't. And if there was, John Lynch or somebody wouldn't leak it, number one. Maybe the Steelers are leaking it. Maybe there's a rat in Pittsburgh, okay? But even if there was, guess who would know about it before the tiny teeny bopper Steelers, you know, fan page posing as a news source Twitter account? Guess what would happen? You'd have a bigger name source behind this, not a teeny bopper little in his mom's basement waiting for the meatloaf and bacon, the microwave bacon, to get hot out of the microwave so they can sit here and throw mud at the wall. At the end of the day, the way this stuff unravels it unravels fast, but it unravels in a way that if the Niners feel they cannot come to terms, if they felt that way, and the problem is for Ayuk and why he probably should be requesting a trade, unless they feel the news and buzz of the fake trade request got the pressure on the Niners to a degree that I don't think it did, but the reason Ayuk should request a trade is he has almost zero leverage. The only leverage he has is to apply pressure to get teams to call in and give him an on-demand appraisal so that the Niners see what his value is. That is why a player either requests a trade, even if they don't want to leave, or the team allows the player to request a trade. Sometimes the, hey, go see what you're worth, is initiated by the team. That's not going to happen in this case because the Niners don't want him to go get a high appraisal amount, come back, and then the Niners are like, shit! You know, that's not what the Niners want. So the Niners, remember Debo's soft trade request never even got acknowledged by the Niners, really. It didn't end up happening. It was a trade request behind closed doors. Did it even happen? Did it not happen? It wasn't recorded audio or video. It was a closed doors weird interview where there was no recording devices at all. And that's where the trade request came from. But it applied pressure. It had a purpose. Trade requests have a purpose. They're not necessarily to leave. Tyreek Hill's trade request was not meant to trigger a trade. Problem is, when you offer that opportunity to the player and they do go get other offers, they go and find out their worth. They bring contract back to team and say, hey, this team not only wants to trade the draft capital to get it done. And that's the second part of it. The contract's first. Ayuk says, let me go. Can I request a trade? And then if the Niners go, I'm sorry, you got a bad connection. Ayuk says, can I request a trade? We can't hear you. It's really fuzzy. We'll see you later at the draft. Bye. That's what the Niners' approach is probably right now, because they know that he's got a good market value probably. Like, he goes out there, he's going to get a pretty decent contract offered by the Steelers or whoever that does want him. Again, understand, Ayuk might be desired by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but are the Niners and Steelers in aggressive, as these fake pretend reporters say, is there an aggressive trade negotiation going on right now? Probably not. And if there was, I'm not saying 100% there isn't something to that, but not coming from them. It's all a guess game. Throw mud at the wall, it doesn't stick. Throw another big thing at the wall, doesn't stick. Eventually, something's going to stick, and they're going to go, we called it! We called it! They didn't call shit! They didn't call shit! Nothing. What Ayuk needs to do, though, is say, hey, let me go show you what I'm worth. I request a trade. Doesn't mean he's going anywhere, Niner fans. Calm down. No one's saying he's going anywhere. Tyreek Hill's intention of requesting a trade by his agent. Tyreek didn't want to do it. His agent said, we're doing it. He said, okay, I'm listening to you. Request a trade. The intention was to go get the appraisal amount, because then you're given the opportunity. And it's all about the contract at that point. It's not about the compensation. That comes later. No team cares about the compensation that's required unless they know they can sign the player. Who's going to give up tremendous draft capital? The Steelers, for example. If the Steelers were to give up the 20 overall, I'm not saying they're going to or would, but let's just hypothetically say the Steelers are going to overpay out their rear end to get Brandon Ayuk. That doesn't matter. They don't care about that in that negotiation unless they know they can sign Ayuk. Why would they want to give this up and go through all the hoops and jump through all the different things to get this part done or agreed upon when they don't even know if Ayuk would sign a reasonable deal? So they talk to Ayuk. They say, hey, Ayuk, what do you want? What if we pay you 27.5? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. They take said deal. They move it over. They move it over and present it. Ayuk presents it. His agent presents it to the Niners. The Niners look at it and go, yeah, we're not paying that. And then they know they have a problem. Okay, and that's part of why the Niners maybe don't want to even go down the road of a trade request, why they didn't entertain Debo's trade request, because they know an offer probably will come in that they don't want to pay. The Niners are kind of cheap about how they want to pay their players. They always pay their players. Let's make no mistake about it. They got some of the biggest contracts in the NFL, but they don't It's not like they want to overpay Ayuk right now. Not to mention they got to pay Brock Purdy, and they're going to not scrimp there. It's like they scrimp and they don't scrimp. They'll scrimp on this. They'll try and scrimp on this. They'll try and scrimp on Debo potentially, but will they scrimp on Brandon Ayuk? On Brock Purdy? No. According to Jed York, he's going to reset the quarterback market. He's going to give him a blank check. So hard to predict when the Niners want to overspend when they don't, but I can guarantee you that they don't want to pay him extreme amounts of money over Brandon or over Debo's contract. I bet you anything they wanted this thing to be identical. Problem is, and this is where the Niners went wrong, is when you don't sign him early, you end up having his value go up, not just in the eyes of Ayuk, but in the eyes of everybody, in the fair market value of Ayuk. So when Ridley signs his deal, boom, $50 million. Now what? Oh my God, Devontae Smith signs his deal, boom, $50 plus million guaranteed on a bigger deal and $25 million. $25 million a year. Devontae Smith just got $25 million a year. And I know this is going to hurt. Niner fans, put your earmuffs on this one. Devontae Smith and Ayuk deserve the same money. I know Niner fans are going to look at Ayuk as a different monster and say, look, Ayuk is better than Devontae Smith. They're very much the same. One might be better than the other from year to year. One might become better than the other on a consistent level, but it's not a guarantee that Brandon Ayuk is going to be better than the Slim Reaper. They're both fantastic players. They're both arguably, quietly, their team's number one wide receiver with another wide receiver, very similar situations. A.J. Brown is saying, I'm the number one. His stats say he's the number one. But he's also got a history of knee injuries, and who knows when that starts unraveling. So Devontae Smith will be soon, I believe, asked to be the number one statistically. And the Slim Reaper will be earning his cash money. I think the same thing's potentially possible with Debo. He's been used as a running back. The mileage is crazy. He's a bigger guy, holding a lot of weight on those knees, taking hits differently than the average player. Debo Samuel is probably, if I had to say, the best yak yardage player that we've seen in the last decade, if maybe not in the conversation of ever. There is no player in the last 10 years that has more yak impressive stats in top category statistical seasons than Brandon Ayuk. I believe he's got four or five of the best yak yard seasons inside that 10-year period. This is an absolute yak machine. There's nobody better. Debo Samuel's more important to the Niners than Brandon Ayuk. And you can say, oh, no, Ayuk runs better routes, Smitty. Or no, Smitty, Ayuk is more important. You can replace Ayuk a little easier. I'm not saying he's replaceable to an extreme degree or that you can just replicate him. But you go get another receiver like Leggett in this draft class, Keon Coleman, Malachi Corley, a Ladd McConkey. You go get one of those players. You are replacing Ayuk's value to the team a lot easier than you are replacing somebody that's probably the league's best yak yardage player in the NFL and has been over the last 10 years. So I understand that they're different positions in a way. I understand they bring different things to the table, but you take Debo out of this offense and Purdy starts looking very mediocre. You take CMC out of this offense and Purdy starts looking very, very mediocre. I'm not trying to rip on Purdy here. I'm just trying to say this offense falls apart. You take Brandon Ayuk out and you put in a Ladd McConkey, and I can almost guarantee you not much changes. And that's where the Niners are going to be sitting here at an impasse at some point where they say, look, you know, someone's offering something we can't refuse. The 20 overall pick, let's just say that I don't think this will happen. I think that it's going to be second rounders and such, but you could swap 20 and 31 and then give the second or third rounder, and then the Niners move up from 31 to 20 to get that wide receiver if they wanted to. Those are kind of options that are on the table, but again, reeling it all back, there's no way to get to that point, like aggressive trade negotiations on the Niners and the Steelers, unless the contract is worked out, because the Steelers aren't going to worry about all that unless they know that this guy's affordable, because no one's going to jump through those hoops and design a trade and aggressively negotiate unless they know he will sign. So his trade request potentially comes in. Okay? That could be this week. We don't know coming up. It could be this weekend. It could be later today. The trade request is still potentially on the table. Doesn't mean he's going to do it. Doesn't mean he's going to do it. It just means that if he's smart, if his agent's smart, they will try and get a appraisal value on his contract worth. It's not about getting traded necessarily. It's about the Niners not wanting to negotiate. Ayuk's got a window of time where he's got a little bit of leverage. He's under contract, so the leverage is small. But if he requests a trade, then teams will be able to give an offer the Niners can't refuse that includes draft capital in this draft. I can tell you this. If the Niners get through the draft and they don't trade Brandon Ayuk, the odds of Ayuk getting traded go down so much that it's almost a near impossibility that Brandon Ayuk is traded after the NFL draft. Why is that? Because the Niners would only have interest in trading him for now draft capital. Once the now draft capital is off the board, the Niners are no longer probably even interested at all. And they'll just call his bluff all day long and say, play on your contract year, and we'll franchise tag you after that. Niners can do that. Should they do that? No, but they could do that. And I don't think that Ayuk is as big of a concern as a Debo would be, or a Christian McCaffrey, or a Brock Purdy, or those situations. Not saying Ayuk isn't amazing, but he is more replaceable than Debo, McCaffrey, Trent Williams, or Brock Purdy, or George Kittle. There's just a way to replace that production because he's amazing at what he does, but he does something different. Debo, you can't replicate. You can't replace Debo. You can't replace Christian McCaffrey. You obviously can't replace Brock Purdy. You've been searching for a quarterback for how long? And Kittle does so many things that are special and unaccounted for. Those are the key components of this team. I'm sorry to say, I know Brandon Ayuk believers think he's going to be a top five wide receiver. He's a great route runner. He's a great player, but he is more replaceable. The Niners know this. They're not going to sit here and play games at some point. They're going to say, call your bluff. You know, we're offering you a very good contract, $24 million a year. You want 28. It is what it is. You want to play on your contract year, play on your contract year. Again, what it comes down to is when there's an impasse there, when there's a divide, when the gap is too wide. And if you do this before the NFL draft and a team's allowed to come in and go, hey, I heard there's a gap between the contract. Well, this is the Steelers and we are willing to pay $28 million a year. Why don't we send you the 20 for the 30, you know, the 31 will swap. You guys give us a second rounder, even if it's conditional, whatever, and we'll get this deal done. You guys move up to 20 and grab your guy. That's how a trade's going to end up happening if it happens. It's not going to happen because people are throwing mud at the wall. And as for what this means, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. There's different theories here that if Ayuk is saying, hey, brother, we got 6 days and it's fireworks. Everyone's saying that he's saying that about his contract. Why is everything got to be about Ayuk? I mean, he could be saying this in terms of like, okay, Jaden Daniels, fireworks, like, you know, this is his brother. This is his pal. This is his buddy. And he's saying this is your time to shine. Fireworks going off. The landing spot for Jaden Daniels is anticipated by so many different people, long awaited. And so there's fireworks involved in the NFL draft. Like, so, you know, just like when you had AJ Brown turning his new profile picture into Tom Brady and everybody flipping out. And it was news enough to report, like, when these players do something, we react as a fan base. It's kind of funny to me. Let me just say this. It's very hypocritical of AJ Brown, very hypocritical of Debo Samuel, very hypocritical of Brandon Ayuk, or anybody for that matter, to criticize the media for reporting on something accurately, not like these teeny boppers out there running these Twitter accounts that they made in their mom's basement. Actual, you know, respectable shows, and whether it's a talking head show like mine, whether it's a breaking news person or whatever, all those are all respectable, okay? But nobody, Debo, Ayuk, AJ Brown, shouldn't criticize any sort of outlet, media outlet at all, or even just random Twitter fans or followers for calling out these things when these players are using social media to send messages. When you unfollow the Niners to let your followers know and become little mini reporters and then spread the gossip out there, you can't get mad at the fan base or the media when they do report on things you're doing on social media. You can't have it both ways. You can't try and use it as a tool when you want to. Okay, I'm going to unfollow the Niners to send a message and then get mad when you put Tom Brady on your profile picture and say, you guys need to get a life. We're watching. You know we're watching. You know we're relaying. So AJ Brown needs to take a lap for getting even upset. And say that the media or people are going too crazy. They're looking for stuff. You're using social media. You unfollowed the Eagles walking into the 2023 playoffs because you were pissed off and bitter and mad. And so you wanted people to know about it. So you make a statement. You remove the Eagles from your social media. You make a stink right before your team goes into a wild card playoff game, which was the worst timing known to man. I'm talking about AJ Brown right now. And then AJ Brown gets mad later when he's used social media to send messages by doing certain things on his profile or his profile picture or his bio or his stories. Or Ayuk uses his stories to say, hey, bullshit talks, or money talks, bullshit walks, as soon as John Lynch gets off a press conference. And then when Ayuk does something and they go, oh, yeah, yeah, everyone's looking at his social media too hard. When is it okay to do it and when is it not okay? These players need to stop complaining that they're in the spotlight. You live in the spotlight. That's part of your job. The media interviews, all of it comes with the territory. So you can't complain about that. That I'm going to send every player on a lap when they complain about the media, when they say that people are digging too much into their lives, when they're trying to relay everything on social media when it's convenient for them to get a narrative across to the league or their team, and then they get mad when we overlook at things. This is a complicated issue. As you can see, I'm on the fence on different parts of this topic. I get tired of the fake reports. I get tired of the BS people acting like they have some sort of piece of news and they don't. And they have no credibility whatsoever or any sort of social media. All they have is social media experience. They don't have any journalism experience. I get tired of a lot of that. But I also get tired of the players griping and complaining that we're digging into their social media when they use it as tools. So stop. And everybody, speculation's fine. Just word it properly. Speculation's fine. Don't make up stuff. We can come out here. I could do a breaking news show. Understand me. I'm not apologizing to anybody that if I decide, oh, you know what? This is worth talking about right now. Guy said 6 days in fireworks. What does he mean? And then you get people come in and go, oh, you're reporting on this wrong. I'm not reporting on anything wrong. You're assuming that I'm reporting on this wrong. I'm merely saying this is interesting. Let's talk about this. I'll do that all the time. I'll do that all day long. Not to mention when the Score and Sleeper and about five other big media outlets posted that an official trade request came in for Brandon Ayuk. I don't apologize to anybody. You had people out there with their tail between their legs going, I'm sorry, guys, that I reported on that and I fell victim to it. I'll do better. I don't apologize for posting those at all. That's on those sources. We went live with what the sources said. The sources got it wrong. The outlets got it wrong. And we were, like everyone else, pointing the finger going, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's nothing wrong with going live on something the Sleeper's trying to break or RotoWire or the Score. And the Score loses a lot of respect from me when they delete it after the fact. They get it wrong. And then they delete their Instagram posts, their Twitter posts. It's all gone. It's all missing. Where is the accountability? Where's the integrity? Where's the credibility when you delete something after you put it up? Put up a correction. Did you not go? Did any of you go to journalism school? Did any of you learn how to be a journalist at all? Issue a correction. Put up another graphic. Say, hey, here's the correction. Edit the old one and say, please see the corrected graphic, whatever. Are you going to delete it after people use your information? I'll tell you what, if the Score puts up something next time, we'll put a question mark. Like, that's the credibility gets ruined when you start deleting stuff. Nunez, we know this is your opinion, and maybe you'll be right, Nunez. Brandon Ayuk is not going anywhere, but you don't know that. You don't know that. I don't know that. No one knows that. And certainly these Steeler and also a lot of San Francisco 49er Twitter and Instagram accounts that pretend to be news sources as well, that have no business acting like a news media outlet. Stop putting network and media in your Twitter and Instagram title and bio when you're working out of your mom's basement. It's okay to climb the industry, but put in some work. Do something. Be an actual journalist on the ground, boots on the ground. Figure out how to write a column before you start acting like you're a news media outlet or a network. Oh, I'm a network. Are you? What's your network, Bob? What are you really doing? How many years have you put in? Are you even a journalism major? Do you have any journalism background, Bob? Do you have any sort of media experience? Have you ever been on radio? What do you bring to the table? What are your credentials? Oh, I just threw up mud on the wall, and I was really good at graphics. Mama's really proud of Mom, meatloaf and some bacon. Microwave bacon, thank you. I'm really good at all that. So guess what? I'm now a media outlet incorporated.
Motion detected at the front door.
Appreciate everybody being here. I'll take one phone call, then I'll be back. I just wanted to come live on this and talk about this breaking news. It is breaking news. Call the Grindhouse phone lines. Anybody has a question?
Call into the show. Call into
D-Bow
the show.
D-Bow did it. Hashtag D-Bow did it. He's not going. Here's the typical, like, late strolling in Niner fan. Debo ain't going in, or Ayuk ain't going anywhere. Because I said so. Because I don't want it to happen. He ain't going. Debo did it. Ayuk ain't going anywhere. Yeah, hashtag Debo. Everybody put hashtag Debo did it. For the people that don't understand what's going on. And probably never will. If Debo's contract was up today, he'd earn a higher number than Ayuk.
Motion detected at the front door.
The answer is yes, John. Debo is more valuable than Brandon Ayuk. And you can pretend that's not true. I don't really care to even debate it with you. Because you're wrong. If you think that. Debo is the heart and soul of the team, man. Him and McCaffrey, you take this glue out of this situation, the team starts to crumble, doesn't get held together. Ayuk's skill set is more replaceable than Debo's skill set. Bottom line. All right, I'll be back, everybody. Appreciate you. Live whenever big news breaks, live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. I will return.